Welcome to The Word for Today, broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Penalty of Uzziah, as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 16. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
The first king of Israel, Saul, had gone to Gibeon to meet Samuel at the time that the Philistines were invading the land. When Samuel did not show up immediately, and the Philistines were approaching and the people were getting excited, Saul offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. And while the smoke of the sacrifice was still going up, Samuel came and he said, "Saul, what have you done?" And Saul said, "Well, the people were getting so nervous and frightened that I forced myself and I offered the sacrifice." And he said, "You have done foolishly." You see, Saul was called to be a king, not a priest. He had no business intruding into the priestly act of offering a sacrifice. That was not his job. Now, here is Uzziah following the same foolish mistake. He now is going into the temple to offer incense at the altar of incense. This was a job that was reserved for the priests. Only the priests were to go into the holy place, and only the high priest into the Holy of Holies. And so he is treading into an area where he doesn't belong. Though it may look on the surface as, hey, it's a part of my worship of God, God has prescribed the way he is to be approached and the way he is to be worshiped. And if we do not follow God's prescribed patterns, then we are intruding in areas where we have no business being. I think of so much of the worship today that is not really prescribed by God, but developed by man, and much of it copied after pagan religions. And I often wonder what God's attitude is concerning these things that come not really from the scriptures, but are following the patterns of other religions. Way back in the wilderness, Korah, one of the priests from the tribe of Kohath, came to Moses and said, "You have taken too much upon yourself, putting Aaron, your brother, as the one to offer the incense unto the Lord. We are Levites also, and we have the right to offer incense just as much as does Aaron. You only gave him the job because he was your brother." So Moses said, "Well, you fellows come down tomorrow, bring your little brass censers, and stand here before the Lord, and we'll see who the Lord has chosen to offer the sacrifice." And so he came down, Korah, with 200 men. And the fire came out from the altar of God and consumed the 200 men. The earth opened up and swallowed Korah. And God confirmed that it was that it was the job of Aaron to offer the incense. They took the little brass censers, the little bowls, the 200 of them, and they beat them into a brass plate. And with that brass plate, they covered the altar, so that in generations to come, when they saw that brass plate, they realized that not just anybody was to offer the offering of incense, but it was a specified task for the priest that were descendants of Aaron. It was something that belonged to Aaron's family. And that brass plate over the altar was a reminder of that fact. But here's the king intruding into the temple with the intention of offering on the altar of incense because he felt, I can do anything. I'm the king. I'm great. Everybody's talking about me. And he thought that he could do things independent of God and the word of God. So Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 other priests of the Lord that were valiant men. They were brave to withstand the king, after all. You don't rebuke the king, but they withstood Uzziah the king. That is, they stood in front of him and said unto him, it is not yours to burn incense unto the Lord. But it's the duty of the priests, the sons of Aaron. As we said, God put it in the hands of Aaron and his family, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. So get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed, and neither shall it be for your honor from Jehovah God. So they stood before him, they rebuked him for this impertinent act, reminding him that this is a job that belongs to the sons of Aaron, men who have been consecrated to this task. This isn't the job of the king. And instead of repenting, he became angry. Now, this is a very common mistake, and God help us. So oftentimes, when we are doing something that we should not be doing, and someone calls our attention to our trespass, to our sin, we many times get angry. We feel, hey, who are you to tell me? You know. And we get angry instead of repenting. Now, for the king to get angry, what these priests are saying is right, it is true. He is being rightfully rebuked. But he is taking the rebuke in the wrong way. He wouldn't receive. He became angry. And as the result, he broke out with leprosy on his forehead, before the priest in the house of the Lord and beside the incense altar. Here he was standing beside the incense altar in this holy place, and suddenly he breaks out with leprosy. Well, according to the law, a leper was not to come into the house of the Lord, not even into the precincts. So Azariah, the chief priest, and the priest looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from there. But he himself hurried to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. Now, I do not believe that the Lord would have smitten him had he been receptive to the rebuke. Had he said, I'm sorry, God, I've sinned against you, I've done wrong, and would have acknowledged his sin, I don't think the Lord would have smitten him. I think that his anger, his response to the rebuke, is what brought the hand of God upon him. And I also believe that even after breaking out with leprosy, had he repented and confessed, that the Lord probably would have healed him of his leprosy, as he did Marian after her confession, the sister of Moses, who was smitten with leprosy for speaking against Moses, and yet her confession and repentance, God healed her. And I think the same would have been of Uzziah. But there seemed to be no repentance. And so Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. And he dwelt in one of the houses, the several house it is called, but that is a house that is isolated, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord and Jotham, his son, began to be co-regent. He was in the king's house judging the people of the land. So there was a co-regency here until the death of Uzziah. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, the first and the last, Isaiah wrote about, as we said, Isaiah was prophet at this time. The son of Amos wrote about them. And so Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Now Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like that, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he didn't make the same mistake as his dad. He did not enter into the temple of the Lord. But yet, under his reign, the people began to do corruptly. Though he did that which was right, he was not a strong leader. And thus, under his reign, corruption began to break out among the people. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Now, Ophel was that hill that goes down from the area of the Temple Mount into the valley of the Kidron, with the Kidron Valley on the one side and the Teropian Valley on the other side. And that was the original area of the city of David. And they've been doing a lot of excavations down there now. That was the original Jebusite city. And it is an interesting thing to see today, the archaeological diggings on the hill of Ophel. But he built the wall on down, no doubt to the area of the spring of Gihon, and fortified that area down in the valley. Also, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. And he fought with the king of the Ammonites, and he prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 measures of wheat, 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him, both in the second year and the third. So this was tribute paid by the Ammonites unto him. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God, or established his ways. And now the secret of success again. He became mighty because he established his ways before Jehovah his God. If you will establish your ways before the Lord, as of course he's following the example of his father, as long as he sought the Lord, God made his ways to prosper. He sought the Lord. He had established his ways before the Lord, and so he was mighty. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham, all of his wars, his ways, lo, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, reigned for 16 years. And Jotham slept with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. So we don't get much of the reign of Jotham. He actually did not reign very long. He only reigned for 16 years, which means he died at the age of 41. So he was a young man still when he died. He had, though, this son Ahaz, who was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. Look out. Trouble's on the way. Ahaz is a bad king. He is not doing that which is right before the Lord. So you know that the story of his reign is going to be disaster. Because this is the most important factor of any man's life, his relationship to God. Now, it tells us of the evil that he did. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel who were corrupt. He made also molten images for Baalim, that is, the various gods. Baalim is the plural of Baal, the lords. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, or the Gehenna, and he burnt his children in the fire. He followed the pagan practice of offering his children as live sacrifices unto the pagan gods, as they would heat up these little iron and stone gods in the fire, heat up the iron until it was glowing red, and then they'd place their babies in the outstretched arms and sacrifice their babies to these pagan deities. We cringe at that. Our minds are not yet prepared to think of such a horrible thing of taking your baby and placing it in the outstretched arms of a molten hot little iron god and allowing it to be burned to death. Yet, I fear for our nation because we have made such a strong move in this direction. As we have pointed out before, it all began with him walking in the ways of the kings of Israel, making these molten images for Balaam, with men in the primitive societies, even with man in modern society. One of the most remarkable and exciting capacities of man is that of reproduction. It is a glorious mystery. God giving us the capacity of procreation. The child that is formed in the mother's womb, the child that is born. And it is always a thrill. It's always an awesome wonder, the birth of a child. And to see that little child as it is come out of the womb, to hold that little child, to cut the umbilical cord, and to watch that little child grow and develop, and to realize that all of the potential is there in that little form that you're holding. To look at those little fingers, those little hands, the little toes, and to realize that, you know, it's all there, life, new life, and it's sort of the creation of life, and it's an awesome mystery and wonder. And because of it being such an awesome wonder, this creation of life, primitive man has always worshipped the capacity of creation of life. Because it is such an awesome thing, it became something that men worshipped. And so the primary gods of the primitive people were the gods of procreation, taking this God-given capacity and making it a god. And then in the worshiping of these gods of procreation, they began to worship them with all kinds of licentious sexual rites. The gods were worshipped in rituals that were extremely licentious. Open and free sex within the worship context of these gods and goddesses. And of course, the symbolism that is all there, which we cannot discuss in a mixed company. But it all revolved around the capacity of man to create life. Now, when you have that kind of worship, that kind of worship of sex, with its pornography and everything else that goes with it, when you open up the doors in that area, the result is a lot of unwanted babies. You've been messing around. You've been involved in some of the rituals of the worshiping the Asherim. And now you find yourself pregnant. So what they would do with their unwanted pregnancies, because they didn't really have the art of abortion, They would bear the child, but when the child was born, then they would bring it to this other worship of Molech, the god of pleasure. And this is the fruit of my pleasure. And they would take then that child and offer it upon the little red-hot arms of Molech, and they would sacrifice the baby unto the god Molech. That was their form of getting rid of the unwanted child.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue to look at the various kings of Judah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May we now be doers of the word and not hearers only, because that's self-deception. You've got to put it into practice for it to have any value in your life. Let the Spirit of God now minister to you its truth as He brings to your remembrance those things that we have studied, and He enriches you in your walk and in your faith and in your life in Christ. May the Lord be with you and bless you, give you a good week, in Jesus' name.
I just got the Word for Today Bible, and I'm really enjoying the commentaries by Pastor Chuck. Listen to this one from the book of Joshua.
You see, God has already gone before me. God is already there tomorrow. Joshua is telling them, tomorrow, God is going to do wonders in your eyes. And that's the thing that I need to hold in my mind.
Yeah, that's really good. I have one too from the book of Nehemiah.
So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and then they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's what expository teaching is all about. That's what we have devoted our ministry to, the study of God's Word.
The Word for Today Bible is available in leather and paperback editions with more commentaries by Pastor Chuck, simply teaching the Word of God. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. You can read a preview of The Word for Today Bible by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.